a fond and highly respectful farewell to Rosa Parks. She passed away yesterday in Michigan, natural causes. And she had worked, I didn't realize this, she had worked for Congressman John Conyers, one of our, and I say this sincerely, one of our heroes, those of us who are right-thinking, good, decent, and upstanding, you know, progressives, liberals, worked for him for years and retired maybe about 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. But passed away of natural causes yesterday at her home in Michigan. And literally turned the nation on its ear. At the age of 42, in 1955, when she refused to stand up and give her seat on the bus to another human being because that human being had lighter skin than hers. Truly, she is a hero. An American hero. Right up there with any other patriot you care to mention. Wouldn't you agree? Now, the obituary that I had came from the Associated Press. And, the devil's always in the details. You had to go down a ways. That woman struggled, Rosa Parks, all her life. She had to bring suit against the band Outkast. I'm sure you're familiar with them. Well, there will never be any Outkast played on this program. And if I have anything to do with it, never anywhere around here, because in reading the obituary, I found out a little something unsettling about Outkast. They tried to make a buck off Rosa Parks' name. And she sued to stop it. She lost the lawsuit. So Outkast got to go ahead and prostitute Rosa Parks' name. So I'm, you know, and I enjoyed that. I'm done with them. I'm truly, really, truly done with them. I mean, that's just sad. And her lawyer said it very well. He said, once again, that she was suffering the pains of exploitation. But she maintained grace and dignity all the way through it. Not too long back, she said, "I am leaving this legacy to all of you to bring peace, justice, equality, love, and a fulfillment of what our lives should be. Without vision, the people will perish, and without courage and inspiration, dreams will die. The dream of freedom and peace." And, of course, for the last 5 years, Rosa Parks' dream has been transferred into some sort of hellish nightmare. Freedom and peace have gone by the boards. We've slaughtered 100,000 human beings and more in Iraq because George Bush lost his patience and had to cook up and gin up a war that didn't have any business taking place. And toward that end, it's also worth mentioning, it's gruesome, it's hideous, it's stomach-turning. The 2,000th dead American soldier today in a war for absolutely nothing. Operation Iraqi Liberation Oil. Ginned up, cooked up from the get-go. The 2,000th American died today. And what more do you say? And you know, I heard some of the wing nuts today. Oh, they'll have a fit about this on the left. No, there's no fit to be had. It's just a damn tragedy. 2,000 good American soldiers. 2,000 of the flowers of our nation. 2,000 individual units of our future snuffed out because of people like William Crystal and George Bush and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and Rummy and Condi. Oh, those are fabulous shoes. Never mind the flooding in New Orleans. Those shoes, I want them. I want three pairs of the Ferragamos. God, I hate her. That stupid gap-toothed, buck-toothed grin she's got. Oh, but I play piano. Yeah, well, Nero played the fiddle, too, sister. So that's all going on, and God knows, yeah, there's more indignity out there. There's more irritation. There's more horror. And there's some stuff we can have a little bit of fun with, too. And we're gonna, because after all, this is head on. Now, if you wish to participate in the program, here's how it works. The local number is 308-354-658-5453. Now, I gave you a different number last night, but that one wasn't rolling over to the other numbers, so we couldn't get more than one call in at a time. So if you use that, 304-658-5453, we'll know that we're getting you. And, of course, the toll-free number, 877-4-HEAD-ON, the number 4, HEAD-ON. That means 877-443-2366. You can also email Bob at headonradio.com. We aims to please and try to respond to everything we get here. So we'll talk a little bit more about that 2,000th death today and what it means and what Dear Leader thinks of it when we come back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
Good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free. Because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors. Even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're gonna smoke, you're gonna smoke outside. Because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house. And it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. Because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary, Ryan, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of my...
Hey, we're back, are we? I got nothing.
We're back. Here is Bob Kincaid.
No, Bob's mic's not working right now, so stand by, please.
Street.
Welcome back, and here's Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Is this thing on? Okay. Yeah, yeah, it is. Look, I have no idea what just happened. That's what these. That's what this first week or so is for. We lost everything. I couldn't hear anything in the headphones. The microphone wasn't showing any levels on the. You don't care. You don't care. The important thing is that it's going again. It's about a little less than 25 minutes before the hour, and well, I hope you enjoyed the music. I certainly did. Just to let you know. And we're going to go to the phones right quick, very, very, very presently. 304-658-5453 is the number. If you're in a position where you've got unlimited long distance or something like that, feel free to use that. Or the toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON. And I sincerely apologize for the screw-up there, but you know what? It's going to happen. It'll be polished like a gemstone in about a week's time. But these things are going to go down from time to time. And yet, no, Agnes, it was not your fault. It's not my fault, man. Now, again, we'll go back to the phones in a second, but I wanted to pass this along to you. It seemed like an appropriate time to mention this. It turns out there was a poll. The British Ministry of Defense undertook a poll that and they wanted to keep it secret, but it was the Sunday Telegraph got it in hand. And that poll, interestingly, it was a poll that was taken in Iraq. Now, for all those people,
why don't they talk about the good things happening in Iraq? You know, they get to go to school one day a week without it being blowed up sometimes. Sometimes they have two whole hours of electricity. Why don't they talk about the good things?
Well, 65% of Iraqi citizens support attacks on Americans. And fewer than 1% think that our military involvement there is helping to improve security in their country. Because it is, after all, their country. Now, the survey was taken nationwide. And it makes pretty clear that the coalition of the billing has, lost the battle to win the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people. You know, just like we lost the battle to win the hearts and minds in, what's that Southeast Asian word for quagmire? Yeah, Vietnam. Vietnam. Hearts and minds. How can you expect to win anybody's hearts and minds when you're blowing the snot out of them? Honest to God. How can you, the secret poll, according to the Telegraph report, the secret poll appears to contradict claims made by General Sir Mike Jackson, the chief of the general staff, who only days ago congratulated British soldiers, quote, for supporting the Iraqi people in building a new and better Iraq. Ha ha, fa. So, there you have it. 2,000th American soldier killed today in an occupation of a country where 65% of the people support blowing our soldiers to bits. I'm guessing it's time to go home then. I mean, after all, they've got their fancy brand spanking new constitution, and everybody's walking around with their purple fingers and they're just voting like crazy. So, what do you say? Can we come home now? Now that 65%, you know, before it rises to, 85-95% of the population supporting blowing our soldiers into their constituent parts, can we just come home? No, because dear leader says that if we don't have more people dying over there, then it won't sufficiently honor the people who already died over there. Oh, my head hurts. All right, to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Red button. Hey, Jim. Jim? Jim. No, he's blinking. You got to make the red light not blink. There you are, Jim.
Are you, testing, 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, mic check.
Mic check, okay.
Yeah.
I say, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the ships at sea. Let's go to press.
Roll it. Oh, God, what a night this is turning out.
I know. You know, you're going to have these problems. Technology is wonderful, except it can turn on you.
Yes, it can.
And
there's nothing more helpless than a mathematically, technologically challenged old English major trying to figure out why things aren't going right.
Well, I think you're doing pretty well, actually. I think you're working way through the diagnostics extremely well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You were mentioning initially Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah. God, I hate her.
You know, her name comes from an Italian musical term. It's an agogic, and I'm not sure exactly what it means, but that's where her name comes from. And, of course, the fact that she you say she wears Ferragamo pumps.
Oh, that's what, I don't know. Did you not catch that, Jim?
Yeah, I caught it.
Yeah, when New Orleans was literally being flooded.
And they were talking about her footwear.
Well, they weren't talking about it. No, she, New Orleans was flooding. People were dying. And she, the night before, she went to see Spamalot, the Broadway version of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And the next day, she was spotted at Ferragamo in New York City buying shoes.
Well, they're fine shoes.
Oh.
Ava Braun wore them. They were her favorite.
Were they really?
Yeah. She wore Ferragamo pumps.
I didn't even know Ferragamo was making shoes back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Just shows how ignorant I am.
Nah, not really. But, you know, did you by any chance, and I know you're not a morning person, catch IMS this morning?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
So, that has to move, but they were making, and there's a tenuous connection here between, initially they brought out this thing about Condoleezza having some type of liaison, this is all an allegation, with a female black Fox News reporter.
Really?
And they were saying something that Condoleezza said that she wanted to have dueling pianos with this woman because this lady is an accomplished pianist as well. And then also this morning, they were talking about Anderson Cooper and Shepard Smith being at a piano bar, and Ima said, "Holy God, I've had enough. I've been sued too many times." But, you know, that show is almost worth getting up to watch.
Yeah, but not for me. I'm just up to... I was up 3, 4, or 5 hours last night after the show ended just trying to work out more kinks.
I see.
And not that kind. I mean, like, in the technical stuff.
Well, that's okay. You know, you're at an undisclosed location. You're probably in some water tower somewhere in downtown Beckley, so maybe near, or maybe you're over there in Steve O'Brien's basement. I don't care.
Oh, watch your mouth.
No, but you know, when I see Condoleezza go on these talk shows and she still is singing the same old party line about weapons of mass destruction and Iraq being a center of terrorists, and that's the reason we went in there. I mean, you know, somebody needs to teach her to hum a few bars or something else, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because, well, you know, and you heard, I don't know if you caught any of Flush Flimball today, Jim, but...
I can't bear him because I'll tell you, I have to go to the bathroom when I hear him.
Oh, well, yeah, I understand that sensation, but he was, well, if George Bush lied, then Bill Clinton lied. You can hear, I mean, truly, he is show prep for the rest of the right-wing megaphone.
You know, I tell you, every time I hear that, man, I wish that they still made paregoric, because I get sick at my stomach.
I don't know.
People can stand that, man, because he is such an ass. He is just an ass. He really is. I mean, what is he? He's just an overweight Walter Winchell. But he said he doesn't even have the talents of Walter Winchell.
Well, did Walter Winchell have the narcotics habit?
I don't know, but I know that he had the habit of killing every friendship he ever had, because the only person who attended his funeral when he died was his daughter.
That's right. That's right.
You know? And you know, guys like Walter Winchell, Slim Bob, Felisa, guys, gals, and also Delay and Rove and Andrew Card. You know, these people are flying around with wings made of wax, and they're getting very close to the sun.
I hope.
And I think that the fate that befell Icarus will befall them.
Well, the latest buzz that I've heard just before going on the air this evening, Jim, was that sealed indictments will be passed down from the grand jury tomorrow, and there will be a press conference on Thursday. And they expect anywhere from 1 to 5 indictments. I don't know if that means 1 to 5 counts or 1 to 5 people.
Who knows? Because, like I said last night, these people are going to start squealing like pigs on each other. And as far as having any type of omerta or sense of honor that the mob would have and not, you know, squealing on each other, they don't know what that means. You know, I never thought I would see the day when I would probably have more respect for John Gotti than I do some of those people in Washington. I hate to say it.
Well, but I think you're pretty close to it. I mean, these are the thing is, the reason you can say that, Jim, is because these are low rent thugs. You know, these guys aren't capos. These are low rent thugs who have one game plan. You know, and it's beginning to make a little bit of sense now. The whole reason for the outing of Valerie Plame, it wasn't just revenge against Joseph Wilson. It was an attempt to completely, and they're still trying to do it, to completely discredit the whole thing, because what we're going to find out is that the Niger
yep.
yellow cake
yep.
thing
mm-hmm.
was a cook job from the White House down.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was written in a 1983 style font.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and the whole thing was just this.
And the forgery on the damn thing was the forgery of a guy who hadn't been in power in Niger since Christ was a corporal in the army of God.
83,
yeah.
I believe, around that time.
Right.
And yet that was our casus fidelis for going to war.
Our casus belli.
And, of course, then it was incorporated into the State of the Union address as well. 16 words, I think, were in
the 16 words. And not just the State of the Union. He started that whole ball rolling with the October 2002 address in Cincinnati, didn't he?
I believe he did.
And he was told repeatedly, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'm ashamed to admit this, but at first I was taken in by that stuff. And I was thinking that maybe these people did present a clear and present danger to this country. But then a couple friends that we almost had a falling out over this, and we've since repaired our relationship, thank God, helped me see the light about this thing. And this is when I just turned completely on this whole situation. I guess having worked for the feds for so many years and for the Army and the Air Force, I was kind of blindfolded. But now, boy, did my scales seem to fall off my eyes. And
oh, yeah.
My Damascus Road was not very pleasant. And I hate to say bad things about people in Washington, our government, and our flag.
I understand. Hey, Jim, we got to roll along. Try to learn to hit these brakes.
Well, you do that, and I'll say this to you. Good night and good luck.
Thank you very kindly, Jim. Same to you.
Out here.
All right. And a quick break. The phone number is 304-658-5453, and the toll-free is 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. This is Head-On. And, yeah, it works. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary, Ryan, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service's State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, babe.
You know, you just gotta laugh. Files that don't stop playing. Music that plays when you don't want it to. You're going to have this. We're having a blast. My God. This is well, more fun than most human beings deserve to have by any stretch of the imagination. All right, a little less than 8 minutes before the hour. Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
You tie her to the Medici, so that kind of clears up a lot of things.
And I'm sorry, we didn't get you potted up in time. What was that?
The shoes tie her to the Medici, so that kind of clears up a lot of things.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah. I've got some inside information. I don't know if you want to hear it or not.
Okay.
Okay, in the White House tonight, they're dismantling the treehouse, you know, where Karl Rove used to hang out.
Right.
An insider says it's like the last days of Hitler's bunker in there. They're throwing fecal matter to walls and calling up old markers all the way from the Orient to California. The president has handed out the doses and has locked himself in a sealed chamber with a screaming Condi Rice. Karen Hughes, for the first time dressed entirely in military attire, stands at the door with a menacing stare. Over the Senate and the House, the Republican members are standing around 50-gallon oil drums, tossing the paper trail that can end up convicting them if the top positions go down.
So, you know, at some point, I mean, is this like the end of the rise and fall of the Third Reich, where when George is finally legally and peacefully removed from office, everybody stands around in the bunker and lights a cigarette? Is that it?
I'm trying to figure out who von Rundstedt is. Von Rundstedt goes in there, you know, to talk Hitler out of it, and comes out going, like John Milius said one time, "We can win! We don't need gasoline."
We can win!
We don't need gasoline. We don't need soldiers.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking indictments.
It reminds me of the Groucho Marx thing from, I can't remember which man. I think it's Duck Soup, where go out and recruit some more troops, then dig the trenches this high, and we'll only need this soldiers this high. But dig the soldiers deep enough, we won't need any soldiers. Man, it is coming down to the razor wire.
Yeah,
I guess you could say.
Well, I still maintain a certain guarded pessimism, Chris. I really do. Because we've seen these people dipped by the heel in caca and come out smelling like a rose.
Well, as they so lovingly remind us about the Democratic Party, I've heard heard a talking point on Fox many times. Well, they've already been convicted in the court of public opinion. Well, maybe so.
Maybe indeed.
Maybe indeed. But I noticed, I'm sure you're an avid reader of Crooks and Liars.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw this today, or this a few minutes ago, the third anniversary of Paul Wellstone.
Oh, is that today?
That's today.
Three years.
3 years ago today.
Yeah, and it's worth remembering that the college Republicans a year later at their little Clavin bragged about, well, you know, we had to kill Paul Wellstone. You know what? They probably did.
It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me. But
the last Senate Democrat with any fight left in him.
He was a heck of a man. He really was. And it's good to know that we got people like John Conyers continuing on in the fight.
Yeah. It would be nice if some folks would get behind Mr. Conyers.
Yeah, instead of just showing up when the cameras are there, they gotta be there with him when he's. I hate to say the word when a politician says, "I'm going to fight for you." No, you're not.
There's no
fighting involved.
Who's your congressman, Chris? You're there in Northwest Alabama. That'd be Bud Kramer, right?
Yeah.
Now, Bud is ostensibly a Democrat, correct?
Okay.
God, you're not even going to go that far with me?
No.
So you haven't seen him out there rubbing elbows with the Congressional Black Caucus, have you?
He's a hair ribbon away from being a cross-dresser, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like the man.
You mean in terms of not quite Democratic enough to suit you?
Okay.
You're making it tough, Chris.
Is this thing on?
This thing on?
I got to get to the main room.
Yeah, nothing but the chickens here.
We're working these toilets. We expect to flush down it.
All right. We got to get out of here and hit the break. We're trying to learn how to do that, Chris.
Hey, Agnes.
She's
good
there.
Good going, Agnes. Did you ever tell her about the time that she wanted to bring the pets home? And I was saying, "Go, Agnes, go, Agnes." And you said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Go, Agnes, go, Agnes." Agnes, did he tell you about that?
Yeah, she heard that. All right, we're out of here, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, then. This is Head On, and you know how to reach us, 304-658-5453, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Bob at headonradio.com. Hey, stand out on the stoop and scream if it makes you feel good. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner? If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional miner recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour, hour number two of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we'll have some glitzy, nifty stuff, announcer liners and things like that, coming up. Right now, we're just trying to make sure that the board works all the way through the show. Wow. Too much tech for one poor old liberal arts major to comprehend. At any rate, another reminder, the phone number, 304-658-5453, and toll-free 8774, the number for Head On, 877-443-2366. And prior to taking a couple of calls, we were talking about this poll that was taken in Iraq, and the British government tried to keep it secret. They, of course, failed. The Sunday Telegraph got hold of it. And the basic number, 65% of Iraqis, and this was a nationwide poll, Kurds, Shia, Sunnis, whatever, 65% of Iraqis think that blowing up American soldiers is a good thing. But it breaks down a little bit. You might be interested in these numbers, too. 45% of Iraqis believe attacks against British and American troops are justified. It rises to 65% in the British-controlled Maysan province. You know, those are the Shia. Those are the people that are supposed to like us. And now more of them want to blow us up than Sunnis do. 82% are strongly opposed to the presence of coalition troops. You know, these are the people that were willing to meet us with flowers as long as we were willing to leave, which we didn't. Less than 1% of the population believes coalition forces are responsible for any improvement in security. Less than 1%. Sorry. 72% of all Iraqis do not have confidence in the multinational forces. 43% of Iraqis believe conditions for peace and stability have worsened. The poll was taken in August, if you can imagine. Now, you've heard all the poppycock from people like Lawrence DeRita at the Pentagon saying, "Oh, we're building schools and giving them water and soccer fields and stuff." You've heard that, right? Sure you have. Well, 71% of Iraqi people rarely get safe, clean water. 47% never have enough electricity. 70% say their sewage system rarely works. Oh, that's charming. And 40% of southern Iraqis are unemployed. Boy, that's just a recipe for success, isn't it? Not hardly. However, Iraq's president, you can almost see the strings on him when you see him, because, hello, Pinocchio. Jalal Talabani pleaded for British troops to stay. There would be chaos and perhaps civil war. Jalal, buddy, there already is civil war. And your hide's not going to be worth 10 cents when we pull out. We are now fighting a world war launched by terrorists against civilization, against democracy, against progress, against all the values of humanity. Wrong, sorry. Thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. This is not a war on terror. This is a war on Iraq that George Bush started. It's not hard to comprehend. He started this war. No matter how hard the Republicans spin and twist and flap in the breeze and hop up and down and their little bat wings fold in and out as they squeal, no matter how much they do all of that, the fact remains. George Bush started this war. And as of today, the 2000th young American was retroactively aborted because of what George Bush did. Yeah, but it's right to life. That's the other thing Agnes has got to figure out. Is you've got a microphone, but yeah. Yeah, he's right to life, but he retroactively aborts American soldiers. God. There's no learn. We're not going to learn anything, are we? Well, are we? Did we? Oh, dear me, it's Vietnam all over again. Yes, it's an undeclared war, absolutely. Because Congress can't be bothered. Open your mic. Don't. I love you, dear, but don't. You know, they. No.
Well, Bob, isn't the war a declare?
No. We haven't declared a war since December 8th, 1941.
So, what about the benefits for the soldiers?
What about them? VA benefits are being cut again today. I've got it right here in the stack.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, a little something from our Congressman Nick Rahal. 3rd District of West Virginia, put out a press release right here in the stack. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, Rahal opposes cuts to veterans' health care because the GOP, the compassionate conservatives, God, they make me sick. He called proposed across-the-board budget cuts a sloppy swath that cuts at the core of the future of America. There is a plan in the aftermath of Katrina and Rita to amend the budget levels already in place with spending cuts even deeper than the budget resolution now mandates. And what Nick Rahal said, what they decided to give veterans to address acute shortfalls in the 2006 budget, they're now taking away again. They have pulled the sword out of the heart of patriots with one hand and are thrusting it back in with the other. That's about the size of it. It's about the size of it. Look, from the time he was a little itty-bitty boy, everything George Bush touched, he destroyed. Harkin Energy, Spectrum 7 Energy, Arbusto Energy, on and on.
What about the baseball team?
The Rangers still haven't gotten that World Series, but they did get a nice new stadium that they eminent domained and stole a lot of land for. Wonder if Harriet Myers' mommy had any of that land.
Yeah, but you always want the ring.
So there you have it. There you have it. 2,000 Americans are dead. Let's see, that's 1/25th of the Vietnam War Memorial. 1/25th. 2,000 are dead as of today. And they're cutting VA benefits again. Somewhere along the way, that's got to make your blood boil. That's got to get under your fingernails like little bamboo slices, slivers. And, well, we've got to take another break. But when we come back... Yeah, let's do a report from the Coward Nation, because cowards make coward nations. You're going to love this. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. Funk Soul Brother, right about now. Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. Funk Soul Brother, right about now. Funk Soul Brother, right about now.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Take me back to the day, yeah, when I was still your golden boy, back before you went away. I remember blue skies walking the block. I loved it when you held me high. I loved to hear you talk. You would take me to the movie. You would take me to the beach. You take me to a place and something so hard to reach.
Welcome back. 18 minutes after the hour, hour number two. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. And, of course, Head On is brought to you every night by the fine, dedicated workers of the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters. And we certainly appreciate their input and their support. I told you that we would have an update from the Coward Nation, because coward presidents make coward nations. Do you... You remember that movie, what was it called, Awakenings? Robin Williams played a neuroscientist surgeon thingy, and Robert De Niro was a guy who had been in this sort of catatonic state for 10 or 15 or 20 years. And they gave him a drug, and he woke up for a little while. It was touching. Well, that was all based upon a book called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Now, this is from the left coast. A terminal at San Diego International Airport was evacuated today on fears of an improvised explosive device, an IED. A bomb scare, in other words. In fact, I was out toddling around running errands this afternoon and... caught somebody's top of the hour news, and I heard, you know, the determined, breathless authorities in San Diego have shut down the airport there on fears of a bomb. With me so far? Of course you are. Now, bear in mind, we are presently at D minus maybe 2 days till Fitzmas. If the latest swirling rumors out of Washington are correct. Anywhere between 1 and 5 indictments will be rolling out day after tomorrow, Thursday-ish. So, what happens every time there's trouble in bushland? That's right, terror alert. Democratic Convention, terror alert. Today it was the airports, and also John Wayne Airport and Long Beach Airport had terror alerts.
We'll show those Californiacs not to vote for me. We'll give them a terror alert.
Right, right. Now, wait, though. I mean, you know that just it's as phony and bogus and ginned up as the Iraq War was. So today's terror alert in San Diego, California. Well, here, I'll give it to you straight off the copy. A terminal at San Diego International Airport was evacuated Tuesday after luggage screeners mistook a child's toy and a cookie for bomb-making components.
Fido just needed a cookie break.
Yeah, no cookie for you. A cookie. Now, let's see. A screening machine at the commuter terminal detected what appeared to be bomb-making material in a carry-on bag around 7:45 a.m., said Transportation Security Administration spokeswoman Jennifer Pepin. A bomb squad was called to the terminal. Serves regional flight gators determined the bag did not contain any IED or improvised explosive devices, Pepin said. You got to wonder at what point they made that determination. Jesus, I don't know. Is this nitroglycerin or macadamia chocolate chip? My God. What fools we are played for by this gang of punks and thugs in Washington. Cookies. Cookies of... Now, Bob, they're not just any cookies. They're cookies of death. Those trans fats can drop you like a bull moose. Oh, my God. Here's what Ms. Pepin had to say.
Essentially, what they did find was a child's toy and some organic material in a bag that turned out to be a cookie. I thought the only guy in the universe who could make a bomb out of a cookie was freaking MacGyver, okay? A little bit of bat poo and a sharp stick and a chewing gum wrapper, and the guy can blow up tanks.
A crushed cookie, and probably the toy out of what, a Happy Meal? Those two items combined on screen, they very much appeared to be an IED, and turned out not to be. But for all the people at San Diego Airport, well... I guess they're not talking about Fitzmas anymore, are they? Dear God.
Honey, you want a cookie?
No, Mommy, no, don't blow me up. Oh, Mommy, I'll be good. I don't want a cookie. Can you imagine how those fools felt after having this ginned-up bomb threat? Sir, we've got the cookie. And Mayor McCheese. Oh, God.
Ronald's so depressed.
Ronald McDonald, international terrorist. Do they still make McDonald and cookies? I don't know.
Yes, they do.
Oh, God. A cookie. A child's toy and a cookie. Now, I mean, we've got little toys from Happy Meals and crap like that all over the house. I mean, and some of them, you can drive them right through the soft sole of your little foot as you walk over them when they've been left lying out. Yeah, fortunately, it's a one-story home, so we don't have to worry about the roller skates on the stairs. But when I read this story, I just went and, I think it was maybe Belle or Jasmine or whatever, one of those Disney characters. I got that. I set it down on the desk. And I set a Fig Newton next to it. I turned them every which way but loose. And I, for the life of me, I could not make them look like a bomb.
Bob, you do realize that airport security is looking for Mr. Hankey, don't you?
Oh, stop.
Okay. You know, organic material, they're looking everywhere.
No, they're talking about the crushed cookie. That's the organic material. You don't have to go all South Park on me. A cookie. A crushed cookie. I crushed the Fig Newton. I mean, does crushed McDonald Land cookie look like, what? C3, C4? Does it look like C4? I'm at a loss. And a child's toy. Let's have a little journalism here. What kind of child's toy? Belle, Jasmine, Mayor McCheese, Elmo? It could have been Elmo. This is the coward nation. We are afraid of our own shadows. And we have been taught this. Isn't there something in the Bible somewhere where it says, "Lo, I did not give you a spirit of fear"? I thought these were supposed to be the Christians. Apparently not, because we live with a spirit of fear. We can never be terrified enough to suit these monsters. The Star Trek episode where the creature that had been Jack the Ripper and then this bad guy and that bad guy and he caught up with the Enterprise. I don't even remember the episode, but he screamed, "Yeah, Regic, Regic, Regic! You're all gonna die. You'll die." He fed that creature fed on fear, and I don't know. Maybe it was a prophetic vision of what was yet to come. Because from Darth Cheney to Dear Leader to Kinda Sleazy Rice, Stephen Hadley, they all feed on fear. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that winners go. Only shooting stars break the mold.
till you get older, but the media man begs to differ. Judging by the hole in the satellite picture, the ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Welcome back. 33 and a half minutes past the hour. Well, we're halfway through this Tuesday night edition of Head On, which has been an adventurous one, to say the very least. Moving on away from terrorist cookies. Oh, my God. Yeah, I read that. Because, like I said, I heard it in the car, and I thought, this is a little too close to the Fitzgerald proceedings. This ain't real. So I wasn't at all, but still, a cookie? A crushed cookie. But here, now let's move on, talk a little bit about Fitzmas, if you will. I mean, a guy can be hopeful, a guy can be an optimist, can't he? This is out of, this is the blurb out of the New York Times. Lawyers in the case said Mr. Libby testified to the grand jury that he had first heard from journalists that Ms. Wilson may have had a role in dispatching her husband on a CIA-sponsored mission to Africa in 2002 in search of evidence that Iraq had acquired nuclear material there for its weapons program. Okay, we know that. But the notes that are now in Mr. Fitzgerald's possession indicate that Mr. Libby first heard about Ms. Wilson, who is also known by her maiden name, Valerie Plame, or Valerie Flame, as Judy Miller likes to call her.
The Judy Miller Show.
He first heard about her from Dick Cheney. Now, that apparent discrepancy in the testimony suggests why prosecutors are weighing false statement charges, otherwise known as perjury and or obstruction of justice, against iScooter Libby, iRobot, iScooter, in what they interpret as an effort by Mr. Libby. If it says Libby's on the label, it'll be treason, and, well, there's a gag there somewhere. Effort by Mr. Libby to protect Mr. Cheney from scrutiny, the lawyer said. Now, back up. And I hate talking about this drug-addicted lard ball, phlegm ball. But, God, he went on at length today. Well, Dick
Cheney, my friends, is the Vice President of the United States, and he can talk with his Chief of Staff about any damn thing he wants to. He's the Vice President, for God's sakes.
Okay? And that's, you know, that's okay if you're toddling down the highway and you don't have time to really put any skull sweat in on it. But stop and think a minute. Now, Flimball went on at length about what a low-level, he called Joseph Wilson a publicity whore. And how he was a low-level State Department functionary who always sought out the spotlight, yada, yada, yada. Now, if this guy is so low-level, why in God's name would he be worthy of the notice of the Vice President of the United States of America? We know now that Valerie Plame and Joseph Wilson's name showed up in a memorandum that Colin Powell showed to Dick Cheney. Ever wonder why Colin Powell bowed out at the end of the first term? Do you still wonder? So, you know, there you have it. Now, Flimball, I don't care how much he goes on and cries and moans and complains about Dick Cheney being able to know anything he wants to know. Why was it necessary for him to have that conversation with Scooter Libby? Why? Just simply put, why? And the answer is very easy. That conversation took place for purposes of doing a hatchet job on Valerie Plame. I mean, you know, it's what? This outing took place in July 2003? July 2003, you've already got the war in Iraq on your plate. You've got an economy going into the toilet. You've got negative job growth. And Dick Cheney is taking time down in his bunker somewhere to discuss Valerie Plame with Scooter Libby. There's only one reason for that discussion to take place. Again. Because it was the planning of a hatchet job. So, yeah, I guess the Vice President can know anything he wants to know and talk about anything he wants to talk about. But that does not include felonious conduct. You understand? Cheers. Mary Fitzmas. So here's the crux of the matter. Scooter tried to cover for Cheney, and we know that Cheney learned Valerie Plame's name from Colin Powell. And lower-level functionaries have tried to cover for their bosses, yea, verily, down through the centuries. And when they got caught at it down through the centuries, whether it was Romans or Greeks, Or samurai, or even up into the 20th century, near the middle of the 20th century, sort of the opposite case, Rommel got embroiled in the plot to kill Hitler, and rather than being publicly executed, he took an honorable way out. So, down through the centuries, when people got caught at it, well, the old phrase is, fell on his sword. And it's not just a metaphor. That's what they did. Doesn't it happen in Macbeth? It's what people do with the one last shred of human dignity when they get caught doing the dirty, the dishonorable, you know, the despicable, the repiglican. They literally threw themselves on their swords. And, you know, when you play in the rarefied air of a Scooter Libby or a Karl Rove, it's not too much to think that with great position comes great price. If Scooter and Karl would just have the common decency to play the Roman fool like Shakespeare called it in Macbeth, well, then we could send some Democratic senator out into her backyard to shoot a few rutabagas and prove that Laura Bush killed Rove and Libby. It would be just like old times. My God, what am I saying? I'm ashamed. Obviously, I'm alluding to Vince Foster. And who was it? Dan Burton of Indiana? out there shooting watermelons in the backyard because he was going to prove by shooting those watermelons that Hillary Clinton killed Vince Foster. But it is unfair to Vince Foster, and I apologize. He was a decent man. And a whole brigade of Roves and Libbies couldn't equal the likes of Vince Foster, even if they tried. And that's not to say that they shouldn't try. I mean, you got to admit it, from the fiscally conservative standpoint, and the Republicans are fiscal conservatives, right? It certainly would save the United States the cost of an investigation and trial and imprisonment. After all, as dear leader has so frequently reminded us,
it's your money.
So that's, well, my humble suggestion. But they won't, because, again, we're talking here about cowards. A hero dies but once, but a coward dies 1,000 deaths. And these guys, well, they're eating their livers right now. And the thing is, there's no honor in them, and they will turn one upon the other. And once one rolls, the next one will go, and after that another one will go. You gotta think that maybe Whistling Dick Cheney, you know, big time Dick. You gotta think maybe his little implanted defibrillator's working overtime right now. And you know what? That's fine by me. Evil old son of a sea cook. I mean, well, what? I know the Republicans don't get it, and the Freepers don't get it. I get it, though. This is treason. If they'll out one CIA agent, who the hell else will they out? How many more? How many more CIA agents would they be willing to out if it meant that they could advance their filthy agenda and maybe gin up another war to kill 2,000 more American soldiers and God knows how many more civilians? What will they do? What won't they do? That's the shorter list. What won't these Republicans do? For a little more blood, a little more death, a little more heartache, a little more grief. What won't they do? They're monsters. You know it, and I know it. All right, time for a break when we come back. I think the phone lines are working. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 304-658-5453. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tell me, where have you been? You know, I just closed my eyes. My whole world disappeared. Father of mine, take me back to the day. Yeah, when I was still your golden boy, back before you went away. I remember blue skies walking the block. I love to when you held me high. I love to hear you talk. You would take me to the movie. You would take me to the beach. You would take me to a place in Sunday so hard to be.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner?
If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional minor recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. 12 minutes before the hour. And the phone number's 304-658-5453. We've got to get used to these. I've got to say them a lot. And 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Learn them, know them, use them. Email to bob@headonradio.com. So onward and upward with Mr. Cheney and Ice Scooter. New from Ronco, the Ice Scooter. Or maybe it's new from Apple. iPod, Ice Scooter. This conversation, in case you were wondering, now the outing took place on July 14th, 2003. And Ice Scooter went to the grand jury. Gosh, I learned Valerie Plame's name there, hey, from some reporters or something. Right? Well, the notes got into Mr. Fitzgerald's hands, and it turns out that, no, that's not quite how it worked. The notes say that Mr. Cheney had gotten his information about Ms. Wilson from George Tenet. Now, this contradicts the line about Colin Powell telling them. But then, of course... Oh, about 3 weeks before Robert Novak's column on July 14th, 2003, they had their little conversation, Ice Scooter and Big Time Dick. They showed that Mr. Cheney knew that Mr. Wilson, the notes show, knew that Mrs. Wilson worked at the CIA more than a month before her identity was made public. Now, if you listen to any... And God knows why you would. It kills brain cells. If you listen to right-wing hate radio, you will hear, my God, it takes them 15, 20 minutes to explain this away. And now it's Karl Rove's own words. He's the one that says, if you're explaining, you're not winning. So, as a consequence... If it takes Flush Flemball 15 or 20 minutes to explain why Dick Cheney is okay in all of this, if it takes mental gymnastics that can only be tolerated and swallowed by a dead from the neck up Republican anyway. Well, it violates that Occam's razor, doesn't it? Once you have eliminated the impossible, the simplest answer is most often the correct one. That's Occam's razor. And if you have to do 15 or 20 minutes of political ballet to explain away treason, odds are the treason has been committed. Two thousand Americans who will never see their sons, their daughters, their wives, their husbands ever again. Multiply that by the children. What is that, 6,000 children deprived of a parent? 4,000? Well, it's only 4,000, Bob. Only 4,000. Just like the Republicans run around saying, well, it's only 1,000 dead from Katrina. We were expecting 10,000. Yay! No. It's too many. Joseph Wilson got to the bottom of the lies upon which this House of Cards war was founded. And they were putting a shot across his bow. And they're so proud and so filled with hubris that they thought they could just do it and the compliant press would cooperate. And, of course, the compliant press did cooperate. My God, Judy Miller was out there. If Ahmed Chalabi had told Judy Miller that there were men from Mars plotting terror attacks against the United States, she would have taken it as gospel and printed it on A2 of the New York Times. They thought they were going to get away with it. And they may yet. We want our Fitzmas. But I'm not going to count anything until the indictments are published and we can see them. Count one, count two, count three, count four, count five. Just remember, those are the trivialities that Kay Bailey Hutchison was talking about. We talked about that last night. Those are the trivialities. The treason that gets Americans killed. Not opposing the war. Faking the war gets people killed. Having wars that weren't necessary gets people killed. That headline, Cheney told aide of CIA officer notes show. What was the need for that conversation? And if you're a Republican, gin it up for me. Crank it right up. I can't wait to watch the ballet. Oh, well, Bob, they were putting together, let's see, it's June. They was putting together the 4th of July barbecue picnic invite list, and that's when they was talking about that Valerie Flame and Joseph Wilson. If you've got to go to those kind of lengths, ain't going to fly. It's pathetic, really, to watch them. Having given up all semblance of decency or honesty, they have simply decided to attempt to let brash bravado carry the day and hope that the American people will look away because there are McDonaldland toys and crushed cookies in carry-on luggage in San Diego. Watch it. Watch them. And the wheels are coming off. They're definitely coming off, but for God's sakes. They will go down in even if they go down in flames, they will go down crying their innocence when they have all the innocence of a newborn baby rat. Have you read the article from the New York Times? Mr. Fitzgerald is expected to decide whether to bring charges in the case by Friday when the term of the grand jury expires. These... An earlier anonymous reference to Mr. Wilson and his mission to Africa had appeared in a column by Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times on May 6, 2003. And they're trying to turn this back on reporters.
Oh, yeah, Judy Miller told me.
I don't think it's going to work for much longer. Look, it's time for us to take our break. And just as a reminder to folks as you listen, things you're going to hear, we're going to run you some music between the top of the hour and five after, okay? That's why that's happening, because that'll fill up the space where network news goes. At any rate, this is new. Ooh, careful. Old habits die hard. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
In recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Not to become hysterical, but I'm not sure.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The final hour of our second show. A few glitches, but hey, we're having a blast. I hope you are too. The phone number is a reminder, 304-658-5453, and toll-free, 877-4, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. And the email, of course, Bob at headonradio.com. And a note, a little note there. Of course, if you've managed to stream your way in, you probably don't need this, but if somebody tells you, you can tell them. The link is not working at my website, headonradio.com, the link to the stream.